The Vaish of Rav Mordechai Zakuto was one of the great Mefarshim of the Zohar, and Haganda, the Zohar, is not our Inyan, but he says something in one place which is very much Negeya, the concept of Pardes, and that is what I wanted to do with you before we go back to the Gra. Rav Moshe Zakuto says that every Pardes, there are four inyonim, right? Pirush, Drash, Remez, and Said. Every one of those four inyonim has Pardes inyonim. In other words, Pirush has Pirush, Drash, Remez, and Said, and Remez, and so on, and Drash, and Said, they all have four aspects. So he wants to show that. So he says as follows. Hinei b'chol echad midalid shel Pardes, yesh Pardes, derech moshel. Hanoita lulav umechavin la'atzar tlolim royim zehu apshat. The person holds the lulav, and they know that the inyan of the ni'anuim is to prevent negative forces. So he says that's the pshat of lulav. Ve'im yechavin shalulav remez l'chol ha'toira. Now, in lulav, there are many remozim, and he's just giving one of them. He says that lulav is a remez to kol ha'Torah kula. How is lulav a remez to kol ha'Torah kula? So he says as follows: Shemas chelas bebeis bereishis bara elikim. Right. So it begins with the letter beis. Umesayemis belamid la'enei kol Yisrael. The last words in Parshas Vezois Habracha is Sefer Torah. So dehu leiv. Those are the last two letters of lulav. Lamid for la'enei kol Yisrael and beis for bereishis bara elikim. Ushar HaMikra, he means, besides Torah, there's Nevi'im and Ksuvim, right? So he says Nevi'im begins with a Vav. Vayi Acharei Mois Moshe Eved Hashem. Sefer Yehoshua begins Vayihi Acharei Mois Moshe Eved Hashem. So it begins with the letter Vav. And it ends in a Lamed. Gantz Tanakh, you have Nevi'im begins with Yehoshua. How does Ksuvim end? With Divrei Hayomim Beis. What's the last pasuk in Divrei Hayomim Beis? That's the pasuk that ends with the word, with the letter Lamed, and therefore it is the word Vayal, Vayal. And the pasuk says as follows. I wrote it down. Ko amar koyresh melech paras. This is Divrei Hayomim Beis, Perek Lamed Vav, pasuk Chav Gimel. The last pasuk in Tanakh. Kolamar Koresh Melech Paras Kol Mam Lechois HaOretz Nosan Li Hashem Alekei Hashamayim Vahu Pakad Olai Livnois Loi Bayis Birushalayim Asher B'Yehuda Mi Vachem Mikol Amoi Hashem Alekov Imoi Vayoal. Whoever is from Bnei Yisrael, Hashem should be with him and let him go up to Yerushalayim to join me in building the Beis HaMikdash. So the word Vayoal with a lamed at the end, Vayoal from the word La'alos. So Vayoal ends in Lamed. Comes out that Yehoshua begins with Vav, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim ends with Lamed. So you have Vav and Lamed. So if you look at it, then Beis, Lamed, Vav, Lamed, backwards is Osius Lulav. Beis is Gracious, Lamed is Leini Kol Yisrael, the last letter of Torah. Nevi'im begins with the Vav, Vayiachrei Mois Moshe Eved Hashem, and ends with the word Vayoel in Divrei Hayomim by Melech Koresh, so it's Lulav. So he says that, let's go back now to the words. Ve'im yechavin shelulav remez l'chol ha'Torah. That's how Lulav becomes a remez for Kol ha'Torah. Shemaschel is bebeiz, umistayem is belamed, v'zehu lamed beiz de Lulav, u'shara mikra, meaning Nevi'im ksuvim, maschel is bevov, ayachreiz mois, umistayem belamed vayoal, shehu lamed vov de Lulav, v'zehu derech remez. Umi sheyechavin lemedrashi razal ala lulav hu derech drash, right? So he doesn't have to tell you the midrashim because there are many of them, but there are drashim also. V'yesh ma'al elovay al asoid harei pardes letziruf hamaisa v'hein hein dalid darkei pardes hapshat. He says that there's also an inyan of soid in the lulav, and this is in the pshat of what lulav is. Ukmo ken yesh pardes l'derech haremez, kagon kodesh yiyya denozir. So now we're talking about remez. So all the things have to have something to do with remozim, not pshat. So the word kodesh yiyya. So the Gemara says in Maseches Tainis, daf yitzayin amar aleph, that stam nazirus is shloishim yom. If a person makes a neder of nazirus and he doesn't say for how long, so the nazirus is for 30 days. The Gemara says that, how do you know this? So the pasuk says kadosh yihyeh gadol peras yaroshay. So yihyeh is begematria 30. How so? Because yud is 10 and hey is 5, and then again yud and hey, so it's 15 and 15 is 30. So it's a remarkable thing that you learn a halacha of stam nazirus shloshim yom from such a thing. But what is it? It's not pshat. Yihyeh means he'll be. That's the pshat. So what is yihyeh? A remez. So the remez, it's like the pshat of the remez. That's what he says. So he says that that is the inyan of the pshat oisai remez yoyre al shloshim yom de nazirus. The remez, now what is the remez of the remez? It says, v'remez da Avraham hoya yiyah, shemisparei remez l'shloshim tzadikim, hu remez shel remez. He says, now, you have Avraham yiyah, so there's a remez of the remez. Why is that not the pshat of the remez? Because yiyah, the shloshim, that has to do with nazir, is connected to nazir itself. The inyan of shloshim tzadikim that we're talking about, I'll tell you in a minute, I'll read to you the Lashon HaMedrash, the shloshim tzadikim doesn't really have directly to do with Avraham. It's just merumas in the remez. So the remez is the fact that we are counting 30 from the word yiyah. But it's not like the yiyah of nazir. The yiyah of nazir is 30 days of nazir. This yiyah is a remez, it's 30. That's itself a remez. And it's a remez on the remez that something about 30 has to do indirectly with Avraham Avinu. Not directly. So how is it, what is this Chazal? The Chazal is a Medrash Tanchuma. It says as follows, in Parshas Miketz. Vayar Yankiv ki yesh sheva b'mitzrayim. Yankiv saw that there's food to be gotten in Mitzrayim. And then he sends his sons to go down to Mitzrayim. Correct? In Parshas Miketz. Zesha Omar HaKosuv. So the Medrash in Tanchuma says on this Pasuk that this is what the Pasuk means, a Pasuk that all of you know from Birkas HaMazon. Nar Ha'isi Gam Zarkanti V'loi Ra'isi Tzadik Ne'ezov V'zara Mabakesh Lochem. Who's talking? So in the Medrash, the person who's talking, Kvayochel person, in quotation marks, is not a human being. It's the Sar HaOlam. And the Sar HaOlam sees the Augenblick on the entire universe from the beginning till the end. From the creation until after Yemais HaMashiach. So he says, Amar Reb Shmuel Bar Nachman Pasuk says Sar HaOlam Amrei. Nar HaYisi Mimais Adam. I was young in the time of Adam HaRishon. Gam Zarkanti Ad Yemais HaMashiach. And I see the whole history of the world. From beginning to end. How did they learn the pasuk? V'lo ra'isi tzadik ne'ezav means lo ra'isi es ha'olam ne'ezav min ha'tzadikim. Means there will always be tzadikim. Now normally, how many tzadikim do we count? Always. The tzadikim, lamed vav. What does this medrash count? 30. Very interesting. If we had the time, we'd go into that inyan. What's the chiluk between the two? Any given time, the world is not lacking in 30 tzaddikim minimum. That are like Avraham. What it means like Avraham, we also don't know exactly. What does it mean like Avraham? You know, the Moshul Mo'adav Adoyim, the Rambam says that everyone can be a tzaddik like Moshe, right? So what does it mean? A tzaddik like Moshe doesn't mean he can be Moshe. He can be a tzaddik like Moshe. So what it means that they're a tzaddikim like Avraham, we have to understand what that's referring to. It doesn't mean they're Avrahams, but they are tzaddikim like Avraham. Shneamar, how do you know? So the Pasuk says by Avraham, Hoya yihye l'goy godol. Yihye b'gematria shloshim. So you see what they're learning. When it says that Avraham will be a great nation, so the remez is the gematria. That's itself a remez. But it's a remez of a remez. Why? Because it's not the pasuk shad of the pasuk that Avraham is going to be 30 tzaddikim in each door. So the whole thing is a remez within a remez. That's what the Moshe Zakuto is trying to tell us, that sometimes there's a remez in remez itself. So that's his example. Next, he says, V'chol ha-gematria she-timtza v'parshas ha-nesiyah. All of the gematrias, now if anyone opens up, there are many medrashim on the parsha of Nesiyah. There's a Medrash Rabbah in Bamidbar, Bamidbar Rabbah. The Medrash in the Parash of Nesiyim. The Medrash in the Parash of Nesiyim has 100 Ramazim. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but it's close. There's so many different Ramazim. Adam and Avram and this and that and whatever. Goes throughout all kinds of different permutations in the Gematrias that Karas Kesef Achas that he quotes is a Medrash also. What is his Medrash? Kol haGematria shetimtza b'parshas Nesiyim mizrak echad kesef b'gematria tof kuf chof shenidrash al noyach. So what does the Medrash say about noyach? So this is the Medrash. The Medrash HaGodon by Midbar Perek Zayin. Dover acher mizrak echad kesef. Oile cheshbainoi tof kuf chof shana. Keneget, it means the cheshbon of mizrak echad kesef is 400 plus 100 plus 20. In other words, 520. Keneged shnoitzav shel noyach shahaya ben tovkuf shana. And shenema vahinoyach ben chamesh meyoy shana. Va'oysa hashana amalaya kodesh baruch hu keitz kol basa bolofana. Va'ein anu moitzim miyoyim shehischil behemid toilodois ad hamabul elameya shana. Shenema vahinoyach ben sheish meyoy shana vahamabul hoya. Val shame esrim shana shenigzra gzeres hamabul kaidim tol doisav. So you have tov kuf chof. Anyhow, the kitzur, there's a remes to noyach in the karas kesef achas that the nesiim brought. Now you understand very well that this is what he calls. What does he call it over here in the remes? The chola gematria. Shebeparshas Hanesiyim is drash haremes. It's a drash on the remes. First you have a remes, and then you figure out what the drash is, because it's not a simple gematria, because it's not 500 years. It's 500 years, and then there's a 20. So where does the 20 come from? So there's a drash within the gematria. That's what he calls drash haremes. The chol darche gemat. Gematria nutrikun tamura. Gematria is how much the ICS add up to in number. Nutrikun is Rosh Teves. And tamura is substitution of letters. Like Adbash is a tamura. V'sheheim al derech ha-soid, hu-soid ha-remez. That's what he says. He says that remez has pardes, and then he says, what about drash? V'gam yesh pardes ha-drash. Shat ha-drash. Hu al derech bereishis. You have the word bereishis bara lekim. You know right away Rashi brings it down. Bishvil Yisrael shenikru bereishis. It's not bereishis bara lekim. It's not the pshat. That's the drash. So, but it's the pshat of the drash. In other words, it's the simple drash. Since the word bereishis is used bereishis, so it's bishvil bereishis. Bishvil Yisrael shenikru bereishis. Shenemar kodesh Yisrael Hashem bereishis tuasa. Right? And it's Bishul HaTayrish in the Gracious, right? So therefore, that's the pshat of the drash. What's Remez HaDrash? He says, look at the Baal HaTurim, and he has hundreds of Remozim in the drash with Gematrius. Right? Baal HaTurim has constantly Gematrius. That's the Remez of the drash. Shemedi Baal HaTurim, Lirmoz L'drushe Chazal. In other words, it's a Remez to a drash of Chazal on the Pasuk. The HaDrash HaDrash. You're going essin begamin shenidroshim l'ribuyim. He says the drash of the drash is whenever it says es l'rabbis or gam l'rabbis. Remember Shimon Hamseini or Yadorish va'ami l'nachem Yamseini Yadorish kol essin shabatira, right? Ad shabol es Hashem alokecha tira, and he couldn't understand how you could be marba anything on top of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no yira greater than es Hashem alokecha tira, so the es can't be marba anything. So he was Pirish. Amaloi Talmidov, Rebbe Kolesin Shadarash Namata Heolea. Amalahem, Kishem Shibalt Ischara La Drisha, Kachani Akabo Schara La Drisha. Ad Shabor Rebbe Akiva Vidorash, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabbis Talmidei Chachamim. So this S, which is L'Rabbis, what does Reb Moshe Zakuta call it? He calls it the Drash of the Drash. Es Hashem Elokecha Tira L'Rabbis Talmidei Chachamim. V'chein kol al tikrei v'atzmai hudrasha. The Inyan Hadrasha Hudrash Hadrash. Mura says many times, I'll tikrei this, tell it that. That's itself a drash. And then to be the hesper of that, the drash on that is a drash of a drash. The Said Hadrash, Umashinidrash Bederecha Emes, Ubechlal Kol Medrash Hanelam, all the Midrashim that have to do with Kabbalah, Begam Besaid Yesh Pshat, Shehu Hasbaras Hasaidis Ba'ilam Azeh. Lasbiram Lufikaya Khadimyan Vasekal Auliani Hamishtamish Bederhu Mipsari Echaza Eloika. He says there are certain things that you understand inside, that's called the Pshat of the Said. The Hu Hapshat Lapardis. It's the correct reading is in the brackets, not in the parentheses. For Hu Hapshat Lapardis Hasaid. For Rambas Ubedrish Hasaid or Zaharno. Reb Moshe Zakuto in our Indian, I never speak in Yoni Kabbalah, but Reb Moshe Zakuto in his Pirush and Breishis of Ayera Hashem Elov Eloinei Mamre on that pasuk in the Zohar, he speaks about the Yaakov Avinu and what that represents, and that's what he's talking about over here Kvar Zacharnu, and then he says he finishes. The Said Said who Asadas in Yonim Aloiki in Bederach Nevuah Ruach HaKadosh or Befrat Bispashtus HaNeshama Min HaGuf. He says there's something called the Said of the Said. And that's something that no human being would ever be Zeichet to as a human being in a regular way, no matter how brilliant he is and no matter what his Masaira was, because it's a hidden and buried Said within the Said itself. So he says that the Said of the Said is only achieved by Ispashtus HaNeshama Min HaGuf, or it's a matana from the Ribono Shel Olam in the sense of Nevuah or Ruach HaKodesh, you can perceive it, but you cannot get it on your own. So that's the Said of the Said. Bekitza, there's more hidden than what we just said in the last 10 minutes than is revealed. But you see an amazing thing. And again, I want to emphasize this over and over again. The complexity of the Torah is a thing of incredible beauty. The first sense, it reminds me very much of what I repeat over and over again, the Rambam in the midst of Av and Yira. When a person approaches the Ribono Shel Olam and looks at the world, while the person approaches the Torah, he looks at the Torah, he also sees the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, no less than the universe, and in many ways more intimate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, when a person looks at the world, what's the first thing that happens? He becomes full of incredible Ahava for Hashem, who created all of this. The same thing when a person approaches the Torah and he realizes how deep and profound the Torah is, that even Paradise has Paradise. And we're just touching the surface of the surface of the surface. That he realizes how incredibly immense and how powerful and how beautiful and how intricate it is. And he's full of Ahava for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's a flip side of it too. There's another Nekuda. Just like the Rambam says, and what happens when he wants to embrace HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this incredible love for Hashem that comes from looking at nature, looking at the world, looking at what the scientific discoveries that we make, and realizing how complicated everything is and everything runs so perfectly according to very precise laws. A person realizes that he's nothing. And after he's Molei Ahava and jumps, tries to embrace HaKadosh Baruch Hu and jumps forward, he catches himself. What am I doing and who am I? Where am I? What am I? I have no shaykhus to be here. It's like the peasant was invited into the palace and he's walking through, wandering through the palace and he's saying, oh, this is beautiful and this is gorgeous and this is tremendous. And then suddenly he chaps where he is and he says, I don't belong in a palace. I don't have anything to do with the palace. Look, I don't even have shoes. I'm walking in my peasant feet. My clothes are tattered. I haven't had a bath in a month. How can I stay here for a minute? And he runs for his life out of the palace. So the sensitivity of the person's yearning for Hashem creates simultaneously a sensitivity for his nothingness. And that's Ma'enosh Kisis Kerenu, is the immediate follow-up on the Niflais Habayre. A person wants Tzama Nafshi Lelikim, I'm thirsting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Keil Chai, the Hashem of all living things, immediately afterwards, Mo'enesh Kisis Kerenu. And therefore he near Telachayrav, he jumps back, he withdraws in a Bahala. Same thing in Torah. Anyone who learns the Gemara knows that the Torah was given Be'ema B'yira B'resis B'ziya. And whenever we learn Torah, we have to feel Ema and Yira and Resis and Ziya. Why? Because it's exactly what the Rambam was saying by Avas Hashem. When you come to an awareness of the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, and how complicated it is, on this Reb Moshe Zakuto, if I really wanted to, we could be here for the next 20 years to be Masbir, the Pirush Drash Remes and Said, in Pirush Drash Remes and Said. 20 years it could take us. And it could fill volumes and volumes and volumes. And this is the Tipa Minayam. And imagine the Gedolei Olam, the Gra himself. Many times you have the Pirush and Megillas Esther, Al Pi HaPshat and Al Pi HaSoid. Then you look at the Al Pi HaPshat and it's full of Kabbalah. That's Al Pi HaPshat. Imagine what's Al Pi HaSoid. But then a person realizes his nothingness. Where do I come to any of this? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us b'matan. Gave it to us b'matan. So that is the critical yesod, why we are dwelling upon this so much. You can't tamper with the Torah. You can't play with the Torah. Did we learn the shtickle from the Sefer Hasidim last time? We didn't learn the Sefer Hasidim about playing with the Torah? I thought we did. Yeah, sure we did. Whatever it was, yeah. Before the Chayyadah, right. Before the Ksava Kabbalah, I mean. So the Sefer Hasidim says that you can't play with the Torah. People think that playing with the Torah means opening up a Sefer and looking for letters and challenging. You begin this pasuk, you begin that pasuk. If I begin a pasuk, it ends with an aleph, then you have to begin a pasuk that starts with an aleph. That's the game that he's bringing down. We are playing with the Torah if we go over to somebody and say, I have a pshat. What do you mean you have a pshat? Rashi says, the Ramban says, the Eben Ezra says, the Kliyaka says, the Arachayim HaKadosh says. That's really, person comes over, you know, there's a Maisa, the Birka Shmuel. I'm using this that I'm about to say as an analogy. But the Birka Shmuel was once in a dacha, you know, in a resort. And of course, what's he doing? He's sitting and learning. And he meets a Rebbe, a Chassidish Rebbe. Doesn't matter that he was a Chassidish Rebbe. That's not the point. But the story was, he met a Chassidish Rebbe. But the Rebbe was not used to his style of learning. So he told him over a whole shtickel Torah that he had on the Rajba. So the Rebbe says to him, "B'mechilas kvoitcha, but my entire Bochba." That's what the Rajba says. But what are you saying about the Rajba? Now, he's saying that's what the Rambam says. So the Bir Kashmuel starts dancing, and he grabs him, and he starts dancing with him. And he says, you're also masking that that's what the Rambam says? You're also masking that that's what the Rambam says? Well, you know, what's the pshat in that? The pshat is, you look at a Rajba and you break your head. What does the Rajba want? Why is he asking the question, what is this teretz? And how is the Rajba different than the Ramban is Rebbe? And how is the Rajba different than the Ritva is Talmud? And how is the Rajba different than the Rambam? And why did the Rambam say it this way? And why did the Rajba say it that way? And by the time you're finished, you have the intricacies of the sugya, the haravanya is noir for oyim. Your brow is furrowed. You're sweating beads and bullets of sweat, and your mamish eyes get mutchet, and finally say, yeah, I know what the Rajba is saying. And that's a shir, that's a whole mivna of Torah, that's a simon and a sefer, to understand what the Rajba is saying. The Vilna Goyen at the end of his life was learning Chumash in Rashi, and everything was in Rashi, everything was in the pasuk, kol ha-Torah kula, nigla nister. So the person comes and says, you know, I have a pshat, you know. This is what I said last night at the table. So does that mean we don't have a chelik in Torah? Of course we have a chelik in Torah. Does that mean we can't contribute? We can't have an insight? There's a malamed in the fourth grade came over to me yesterday. He visited the shul. And he came over to me and he said, I want you to know that I just put out the second little kuntras. He said, what's the kuntras? His Talmidim asked questions that the Rishonim and Achronim ask on the Chumash that they're learning. They ask these questions. So he finds the questions in the Rishonim and Achronim. He puts down their Terutzim. He puts it together in a volume. And then every time a Talmud asks such a kasha, he makes a postcard. One postcard he sends to the Tata and the Mama, and the other postcards he sends to the Bob and the Zayden of this kid that asked the question. And he says that when they get it, so one of the grandparents called him up and said, besides the Yashikayach of giving me Nachas, I'm giving you another Yashikayach. Because I called up my Einikel and we discussed this kasha for about a half an hour. But this is a different story. We're not talking about that we don't have a chelek. We're talking about, it's not even gaiva. You should forgive me, and I don't mean it in a nasty way, but it's a shtickle stupidity. You know, we are not in the company equal players. There's Rashi, there's the Klei Yarkad, there's the Arachayim HaKadosh, and then there's me. And we're all the same. You know, it's all the same. Everybody's entitled, and everybody, we're not entitled. We're entitled to struggle. We're entitled to look deeply. We're entitled to spend hours. Yes, that's where we're entitled. And that's no small thing. Because you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that to us. He didn't give it to any of the Ummah Sa'ilam. They're not entitled. And Akum is also to learn Torah. And many Mefroshim write that the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah Ba'al Peh was that they shouldn't have a Pesach to it. And you know, Rav Hutner said, Amir de Kizach. He says that the Mishnah, in the end, had to be composed and written. Eis lasis l'Hashem, eis teiru teiru secho. We have no choice. But what is it really? It's Torah Shebaal Peh. Now everybody knows that the Tanakh, the Goyim stole. They stole the Tanakh, they stole our manuscripts, they stole our people, they stole everything. But they stole the Tanakh. The Tanakh is theirs. Even the old Tanakh is theirs. And if you add up the number of commentaries that they have, our commentaries are a tipa min hayam. Of course, it's all shtus and hevel. But in terms of the amount of people involved, thousands of people in the monasteries over the thousands of years are busy with the Tanakh. They took the Tanakh and they stole it from us. Because you can't steal something that remains with you. But Lamaisa, they think they have the Tanakh, but they don't think they have the Torah Shebaal Peh. Why not? The Teretz is because it was not accessible, it was Baal Peh. But we had to write it down eventually. So says Rav Hutner, give a kuk was tutzach a Mishnah. The Mishnah says something, and the Gemara says that it's incomprehensible. There are problems with this Mishnah. There are steers in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, you know what? Chesurei mechzera v'hochi katani. You're not reading the Mishnah correctly because you're missing a chunk of the Mishnah. There's a piece of the Mishnah that you have to add, revise, change, and then when you read it that way, all problems will be resolved. What kind of mahalach is that? You write something in a way that's incomprehensible and that somebody else should have to fix? Why don't you write it the right way to begin with? And of course, the inyan of Mishnah is the Clarkite of Clarkite. Right, when the Rambam wanted to write a sefer Mishneh Torah, he followed the pattern of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi in language and in style and in everything. So how does a Mishnah that is the clarity of clarity express himself in a way that no one will be able to understand it and actually will be misconstrued and misled, just so that you should have somebody come in later in Doris and say, no, you have to understand what the Mishnah is saying if you hear these words and you change this and you change that. So he says, you know why? Because even though the Mishnah is accessible, it's not accessible to the people who don't have the Chesuri Machzorahi. And he says that's a model, that's a concept in all of Torah Shebaal Peh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to allow that the Torah should be presented to us in Sfarim. But Torah Shebaal Peh does not go over to the Goyim. So he makes even the Sfarim inaccessible. So Mayridika Dahar and Chesur Mechzerachi Katani, what it's all about. It belongs to the private club called Klal Yisrael. And that's why Avada we have a chelik in it, but you have to stand in front of the Torah in awe.
And the best Torah that you can produce is to understand Rashi and the Ibn Ezra and the Ramban, and that's an unbelievable accomplishment. It's an unbelievable accomplishment. If you look at Rav Brevda's introduction to the various sperm that he put out from the Gra, that he repeats over and over again, from the Kadmonim, who were the Talmidim of the Gra, and further down the line, that they all said that the Gra's Lashon is more tamaxika samaruba to such an extent that you have to harva literally on every os. And there's a certain glibness that our tkufa has that bichlal we don't want to harva so much. That's number one. And sound bites, you know, nothing can last more than 5 minutes before a person is spaced out or fast asleep. That's not the way in which anyone could have any hatzlocha in getting into the Torah, because the Torah lemaisa is arucham eretz midah rechava miniyam, and only the gedolim who have shaychus to that can give pirushim and biurim. We can't give pirushim and biurim. We can try to comprehend their pirushim and biurim. And kulei haivu ulai. Everything has to be done with an unbelievable respect, an unbelievable ava that leads to yira. And that's what I'm trying to convey, that the Pardes has a Pardes. So Moshe Zakuta was one of the Gedolei Hador and one of the great Mefarshim of the Zohar. Let's go now weiter. In the Gra, I just want to point out that the Gra, this line of the Gra could be misunderstood, especially in the backdrop that we just said, it's important not to misunderstand it. On the top of the page, Emes Knev Al Timkar, Chochma Umusar Ubina. Right? So he has four words here in the pasuk. You see how the Goyim, four words, Emes, it says Emes Kenei, it's a pasuk in Mishlei Chav Gimel. It's way ahead of us. But the pasuk speaks about Pardes according to the Gra. How so? Where are the four types of Torah? Emes, Chochma, Musar, and Bina. So he writes, Ki b'Torah yesh dalet chalokim v'heim Pardes. You have it? Upshatei ha-Torah yodu al ha-Kol. The Pashup Pshat of the Torah is known to all. He doesn't mean it's known to you. That's why I want to be careful. When he says Yadu al-Kol, he doesn't mean that any Tom, Dick, and Harry, you know. He means Yadu al-Kol in contrast to the deeper parts of it. There are many who are able to manage the Pshat who will still not be able to manage the Drash, the Remez, and the Sight. Upshat ha-Torah Yadu al-Kol. Abul Haradas, meaning pay is taken care of. That's Yadu al-Kol. So what's left? Reish Dalet Samach. Remez, Drash, and Sight. Haradas, Liyodom ulasigam tzarech yegiya. Kmo shekosuv ladas chochmo musa lohovin imre bina. Vehem gimel hanal. Upshat ha-Torah heim hanikroyim emes. He wants to, why is, everything is emes. So why do I say that the pshat is called emes? Because ein mikra yoytzei midei pshutai. In other words, when you have the surface pshat that something is encased in, the container of everything else is called emes. The container is called emes because that's what the words say when you look straight at them before you open up the lid and look deeper into the container. You understand? So what the words are saying, that's why he calls it emes. Very fascinating, because the Ramban, whenever he uses the word derech ha-emes, he means al pi kabbalah. He means sight. But the Goyin uses, as here, that in Mishlei, the word emes means the pshat of Torah. Ki ein mikra yoytzim midei pshutei ubahem, so I meant by a container, nislabesh hara aremez drash v'sait. V'hakoyul, now he adds one thing. There's something else in the idea of emes being pshat. He says everything is consistent. A great deal of what the Goyin wrote and what he told over at his Talmidim was to show that in every inyan of Pardes, and Pardes has Pardes, right? So every inyan of Pardes, the Pirush and the Drash and the Remes and the Sod are all in one kivun. They're all consistent with the other. They're not contradictory. That the Sod of an inyan is consistent with the drash and the remes and the pshat. He says that's also why it's called emes. Ba'kol kavonas haposhut mechuvan zem mul ze. V'zesh omar emes af shehu poshut ve'ein atotzorich liyageya ba'avonosay. V'gam yodua l'chol odom mikomo kon kene. V'chokmo musar bina v'heim remes drash et soy. Afshi dios charav lazeh, afo pikein al timkar elatilmai bechinam. Says an amazing thing. He says a person mines a gold mine and he kills himself with that pickaxe, day and night chopping away at the iron ore to get to the gold. And finally, he gets out a bunch of nuggets. And then you tell him, give out the nuggets for free. Give them away. He says, what, are you crazy? You know how much struggle I put in? Person makes an investment, builds up a big factory. Each one of the pieces of equipment that he needs for the manufacture costs who knows how much. Person opened up a photocopy place. You walk in there, and there's one massive machine after another, each one requiring tens of thousands of dollars. And he comes in and says, you know, why don't you make me a couple of copies here for free? He says, are you kidding? Do you know what kind of investment I put in here? If I give everybody for free, I'll never be able to... Zok the goy. How much yagia does a person have to put in to acquire Torah? Especially on the levels that are deeper than the surface. And afal pikein, don't sell it, give it away. Basic. Give it away. Give it to the other person. In the next going is exactly, we said it already, but he says in this pasuk, and he quotes the pasuk a number of times in his other Beurim and Pirushim elsewhere, is the concept that every jeweler knows. You go and you want to buy a diamond ring for the kala. So, what's a ring? A ring is a diamond. No. You get the diamond from the diamond dealer, you have a diamond. Now what's next? You gotta put it into the ring. Setting. The setting is, you can have 500 different kinds of settings. Zok de goyim. There's the image here, you have to be very careful about. Tapuche zav. It means little balls that look like apples. And what are they made of? They're made of gold. And what is the setting for that? Maskios kesef. The setting is silver. Says the Goyim, why is this called gold and why is that called silver? So the Goyim says, look in Perek HaZov in Bab Metzia and you'll have the answer. Zov has a maila and you might say a chesaron. Kesef has a chesaron, but it also has a maila. What is Zav? Zav is more precious than Kesef. But Zav is rare, and it's hoarded, and it's not used as currency. That drives out the good. The currency is Kesef. Memela, if somebody needs to buy something, has to have Kesef in his pocket. That's what we call Kesef. Money is Kesef. We don't call money Zav. But Kesef is silver. The Teretz is... Kesef is over la soicher. Kesef is currency. Arba meyos shekel kesef over la soicher. Aymaras hamachpeila, right? So that's the mile of zav, is that it's precious and rare. The chesaron is that it's not common and it's not used as currency. The mile of kesef is it is currency, but it's not as precious as zav. Zok de goyim. That is a remez too to the different levels of Torah. So why does the pasuk say tapuche zohav b'maskiyos kasef? Because the setting has to match the diamond for the kala to be happy, and the setting is the maskiyos kasef, and the essence, the deeper part, is the tapuche zohav that it's in. The tapuche zohav, when it is b'maskiyos kasef and it's beautiful, that's equivalent to dovor dovor al ofnov, that everything in Torah is in its proper place. Let's read the Grah. Tapuche zav b'maski eis kosef, the posuk is in Mishlei Perek Chofei, posuk yirav. K'moi ha-tapuach shol zav, u'mechupe b'kesef, So he says, Haraya Shalai Bi'iyun, Einai Raya Rakakesef. He says another thing. He says, let's say a person looks from a distance. So if it's a diamond, maybe the diamond flickers in the light, you know. But if it's a little gold ball that's completely encased, you can hardly see it. So when you look at it from a distance, what do you think the ring is made out of? It's a ring of silver. Because you don't see the gold ball that's in the center. So he says, below Eon, Einai Raya Rakakesef, Eloyas Hazov, Abel Haraya Be'Eon. But if you examine this ring carefully, then you see, with a sharp eye, that underneath this kesef, there's that ball, that the essence of the ring is of. Cain, Hamadaber Dover Al Ofnov Shabbatayra, who pardes. Hamadaber Shayia Al Koa Ifanim, Vahainu Shayoimar Dover Poshut, the Yiya Zen Nochlin Gam Lufi Asoid. He says, if somebody says a pshat, it's a many different pshatim you could say. But the person who's ma'ayin deeply into the pasuk, he's machaving the pshat that it should fit the side, and that is the correct pshat. He says, why do you call soid zov and pshat kesef? So that's what I told you a moment ago. The dima ha-pshat le-kesef va-ha-soid u-zov. It's over lasocher. Everyone needs it for currency. Kesef. Aval hazov eino nitzrach rak ledova yokor. Who's going to use gold? The richest people to buy very expensive things. It's not over lasocher. Vayinu lashirim. Kein haposhut hu nitzrach lakoyl. Pshat, everybody needs. That's a level that everybody needs to reach. Aval hasoid eino rak ledova. That's again the same devaluation of Torah in the popularization of Inyoni Kabbalah. I find it to be basically sickening. It distresses me to no end. I don't know how many other people are bothered by it, but the Maisa, it's a terrible thing. Because besides that, there's no way that someone can understand Inyoni Kabbalah without knowing Kabbalah. It sounds strange what I just said, but it's the truth. People have vertlach, and this is this, and this is that, and again, people start playing games with the Torah. It's not the games of the first letter of the pasuk and the last letter of the pasuk. It's a different kind of game. It's much more nefarious. It's much more devilish. It's much more dangerous. But it reduces the Torah. The person starts learning in Yoni Kabbalah Fanemis. First of all, there's no such thing as learning Kabbalah without going to the mikveh. No such thing. Kabbalah requires a certain level of Tara, which most people have b'chlal no shaychus. Secondly, to understand and to delve into the Inyanei Kabbalah, you need a tremendous Yediyas HaTorah. You need a Rebbe, if not a Rebbe in person, a Rebbe in Sfarim. And a Kinyan from Sfarim is much harder than a Kinyan from a Rebbe. And it requires years of focus and concentration with tremendous Yira Shamayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you this Yad Nishmaya that you need. Anything less than that is a Litzatz. And people who play around with Kabbalah, they're mamish playing with fire, playing with fire. And it's Eishu Chlosai. You don't see the Eishu Chlosai. Because when the Neshama is trampled upon and corrupted and destroyed, the first thing that you can say is that the person doesn't realize it, because that's exactly the pshat. Nobody haps how low he can descend, because in the descent he sees himself on that level. He's okay. You don't hap that you just fell from the top of the top and you're down at the bottom of the bottom. It's the problem. But that's what it is. So he says, "Hasayid einay rak legadoyim." The next guy. Perek Chofei, Pasuk Chofei. Very beautiful, famous Pasuk that many people quote, Bederech Melitza. Mayim Korim al Nefesh Ayefa. The cold waters, when a person is exhausted, and he has cold water poured on him, and all of the dust from the desert just falls away, and he feels refreshed, he comes back to himself. Mayim Korim al Nefesh Ayefa. Cold water on a tired soul. Ushmua toiva me eretz merchok. A person is worried, he's wondering what's going on, and he gets a letter, he gets a telegram, he gets a message, everything is all right. Shmua toiva me eretz merchok. Zok the guy, what is this a remez to? Because Mishlei, right? It's Mishlei. Mayim korim al nefesh ayefa. Kasher hamayim hakorim heim al nefesh al hanefesh. Asher hu oyef fitzameh. When you pour this mayim karim, you have a tremendous hanah. What's this mashal all about? This tremendous satisfaction, this tremendous pleasure that you have from this simple thing that the mayim karim are refreshing and replenishing you. Shabbatayrahu pardes. Vehem nechlokim l'shnayim, chokma v'toyra, shehu pshat udrush, v'chokma hu remez v'soit. He says, v'hi nikreis mayim, u'kmoy shmua toiva, koyma halocha, shehi shmaitza, toiva, v'hi me'eretz merchok, sheho yorochok mimenu leida oisa, halocha, v'shremeya oisa, hu nenem izemioi. A person plagued himself to learn up a sugya in Gemara, and finally to come la'asuke shmaitza aliba de'ilchasa, to come to the maskana of the halacha, from all of that, to finally distill the pshat of the halacha, so he has a tremendous hanah. V'zeh yodua lakol, kein kasher ha'nefesh ha'yefa leida soid, v'chokma v'hisig oisa, hu ne'ne mi'oid. So he says that the inyan of Soid has that same hanah. Why is he telling us that? It's the Chayra Dover Pashut. But he says like this. He says, I'm talking to you. That's what the Goyim is saying to us. I'm talking to you. You may never know what that pleasure is. So imagine what the pleasure is when you learn a sugya and you finally chap what's going on. And you're able to distill the details of the sugya, and you're able to come even to maskona l'alocha. Doesn't that make you filled with tremendous joy, and you feel this unbelievable satisfaction, and although you're exhausted, you feel so good? So I'm telling you that that's the way a person feels when he learns Sait al-Buryo also. So that's Mayim Karim al-Nefesh Ayefa Ushmua Toiva Me'eretz Merchok. So he says, yeah, I have a shtickel from the Shailus Tshuvas Rav Pa'olim. Now, who is the Rav Pa'olim? The Ben Ish Chai. The Rav Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, of Iraq. He's called by some the Sfardi Chofetz Chaim. But in any case, maybe the Sfardim called the Chofetz Chaim the Ashkenazi Ben Ish Chai, you know. But Lamaisa, the Ben Ish Chai was really an extraordinary matana that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the Jews in that Kufa. And his sforim and his hashpa is boundless. And it has gone way deep into the Ashkenazi circles by now. The Ben Ish Chai wrote a number of tshuva sforim, and one of them is called Rav Pa'olim. And in the Rav Pa'olim shtickle that I have from you, he says like this. But let me first tell you in my own words. That pirush, drash, remes, and sod, right? So l'chayra, every pasuk in the Torah has these components. And as Rav Moshe Sakuta said, each one of the components has the four components. Take a look at Shir HaShirim and ask yourself, what is the pshat of Shir HaShirim? And here, the sakana of making a mistake is noira v'ayim. Because the tendency of a person is to say that the pshat of Shir HaShirim is a love story. But the drash and the remez and the soy, that's about Klal Yisrael and about the Ribbono Shel Olam, about the Ribbono Shel Olam with Gantz Klal Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam with each individual Jew, about the history of Klal Yisrael in relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and on and on. But the pshat, that's what you see in front of your eyes, right? Isn't that the pshat? Pshat is what you see in front of your eyes. So the answer is, in Shir HaShirim, it's not true. The pshat of Shir HaShirim is that the imagery has a pshat, and the pshat is about the Ribbono Shel Olam Klal Yisrael. I'll give you a very good example. There's a machlokes actually about this amongst the Mefarshim and the Poskim, and the Meshech Chochma Dor Sameach does not agree with what I'm about to say about this pasuk, because he learns it differently. We have a principle, Ein Mikra Yotze Midei Pshutai, correct? We just mentioned it earlier. Why is Pshat called Emes, says the Gra? Why is that Dafka Pshat? Because it's the container, it's the thing you see, and it is the source, in a sense, of everything else. Because it has to lead to everything else. Because everything has to be consistent. So therefore, what you see on the surface is really the Emes that encapsulates and contains everything else. I'm going to quote a pasuk that everybody knows. It's a pasuk from the Torah. V'lifnei iver lo sitem nirshom. Translate that to me. Pshat. What is the pshat of that? Now, before you say that, I'm going to quote you a phrase. I'm going to tell you a phrase that is not in the Torah. It's in our way of speaking. And I want you to ask yourselves, what is the pshat of that? Somebody asks a fellow, you know, how's your panosa going? So he says, Baruch Hashem, at least I have a roof over my head. Okay, now, this fellow who's listening runs to the lumber yard and he says, what are you doing? He says, well, I want to give you walls also. I want to give you walls. The guy never has such a gehakta tzaris that he doesn't have even walls. And what about a floor? Don't have a floor, don't have a foundation. You have one story, maybe you need two stories. You have 25 children, you need at least two stories. All you have is a roof over your head. So what's the teretz? The teretz says it's a figure of speech. It's an image. So what is the pshat of that image? So somebody could come, a stickler for language could say, the pshat is, there is a roof over his head. Now, he may be standing out in the street. So imagine a person says, Baruch Hashem, I have a roof over my head. And the other one says, liar, liar. You don't have a roof over your head. You're in the street. So take him away. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that pshat of melitza is what the melitza represents. That's the pshat. It's not. You understand what I'm saying? When a person says, I have a roof over my head, he is saying, not that he's saying he has a roof over his head, and then you have to say, what is the remez, drash, and soid of that? You know, he is saying, I have at least a place to live, and it's not so terrible, I'll manage. That's what he's saying. So it means he says, I have a place to live, I have a house, I rented an apartment, whatever it means. But it doesn't mean a roof over his head. And life is full of such melitzas. That's why many times, if you're learning a language that's not your native language, you get all confused. What's the person trying to say? But, in the expression, somebody went bankrupt. So in Lashon Kodesh, Pashat Etz HaRegel, he spread out his foot. If you have a banana peel and you step on the banana peel, all of a sudden you go sliding. That's Pashat Etz HaRegel, you know. And unfortunately, it was a very big banana peel and he took a big fall. But Pashat Etz HaRegel, and maybe it means something else even. But the bottom line is when somebody says, who Pashat Etz HaRegel, the Pashat of Pashat Etz HaRegel is not that he spread out his leg. What does it mean? It means he lost all his money. He went bankrupt. So the whole, even the word bankrupt means, you know, it means that the table was broken. The chair that he sat on fell apart. Bankrupt. So that's a melitza. Whenever you have melitza, the pshat of the melitza is the intent of the melitza, not the literal meaning of the words of the melitza. The literal meaning of the words of melitza will give you nothing. They will lead you nowhere. Now, take a look at Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Mirshom. What is the pshat of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Mirshom? So if somebody wants, he can say, and that's what the Meshech Chochma does say. It means, pashut, that you cannot take a piece of wood, and you see a blind man walking, and he's about to walk towards you, and there's nothing in the way. You take that piece of wood, and you put it in front of the blind man. Obviously, he does not see it, and he falls on his face and hurts himself. So the Torah is telling you, do not put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. What do the Chachamim say? There's not one place in the Gemara, in the Rambam, in the Poskim, that says, Beferush, that in the Sefer HaMitzvahs LaRambam either, that says beferish that the Torah's simple meaning is, do not take a piece of wood or any other block and put it in front of a truly blind man. It means that he does not have eyes to see. So what does it mean? It means two things. The main shot is, do not give him bad advice. It means blind, he's blind in this inyan. He doesn't really understand the consequences of what's happening. He doesn't see what's beyond the horizon. He doesn't realize that it's a terrible investment. He doesn't chap that the place has really lost all their money. And they're just trying to bamboozle you. And on and on and on. That's lifnei iver. What's the stumbling block? The bad advice, buy the stock. The bad advice, give him the money. The bad advice, go to that place. Move to that neighborhood. That's the shot. You know that your friend is a real estate agent, and they're having tremendous trouble because they just discovered that in the ground there's seepage from all kinds of toxic waste. But the guy's panosis have gehackt the tzaris. So you find some fellow and doesn't know any better, and you say, that place, you're going to get the bargain of the century. You get a house with 25 rooms, and you can buy it mamish for $100,000. But don't delay, because there are a lot of kainim, a lot of kaiptsim. So he runs home to his wife, and he says, mamish gewaldik, and he goes and he buys the house. That's lifnei iver l'sitei michshol. And it's a terrible, terrible aveira, terrible aveira. I don't envy the person in the punishment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in store for him. But whether it is the push of shat or not, so it depends how you understand the words with Naidu Asitei Mikchol. Is it a roof over my head, or is it literally a stumbling block and the rest is drash and rambis and soap? Same thing, there's a halacha that you're not allowed to be machshel somebody in an aveira if without you he couldn't do the aveira, and you are goyim and facilitate the aveira. It's also like Eitz Hashein or Haganis. Again, because you're leading him into perdition, leading him to Gehenna. So of course, it's the same thing as Eitz Hashein or Haganis, but it's not the simple shot of the words. But not always are the simple shot of the words the true shot of the words. Now take Shir HaShir. Let's read Rav Kook. Ochein hatam sheniskar shmoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Shir HaShirim b'remez b'shem Shlomo. Hashem's name is not mentioned. Shir HaShirim Hashem l'Shlomo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mi shehashalom shalom. V'lo niskar b'shem Hashem b'feirush. Why doesn't you want to talk about the Eibishter, right? Hashem, Elikim, Tzvokas, whatever you want, but write the Eibishter's name. What's the problem? So he says he has a reason. He has an explanation. He says, "Mipnei kishir hashirim kulo mitchilo v'ad soif hi derech moshal v'advarim ne'alomim v'nistarim ve'enon kipshutam chatz v'shalom." Until now, you could say there's a pshat. But don't think that that's really what it's all about. But then he continues and he writes the following words. Ki ein lohem pshat. Elo rak remez drash v'sod. Ma she'ein kein sharak suvim yesh v'em pardes. He says here a beautiful and wonderful chiddush. He says, you talk about pardes, 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 and because everything has pshat. And the pshat, as the Goyim says, is really the container for everything else. Shir HaShirim does not have pshat. Because the moshel is always repeated one after the other, pasuk after pasuk, the equivalent of a roof over my head. And if Me'ivah L'Sitei Michshol, in the sense that it's only a stumbling block in the figurative sense, meaning an eitzah she'ena hagenes loy, you give bad advice. V'zat, and then he writes, V'zat tam, ki bal ha-targum loy osa targum l'shir ha-shirim ki min hagay b'shir. He says, unbelievable. He says, they didn't make a targum for shir ha-shirim. Why not? He says, because the targum for shir ha-shirim would imply that there's a pshat, and he's explaining the pshat. He's translating the pshat. He says, there is no pshat. So Asa Targum Lashir Ashirim Kimin Hogi Bishar Targum and the Targum Pshat Amilois. So what was the Targum on Shir Ashirim? The Targum Shir Ashirim just tells you a whole story about Klal Yisrael and Rabban Shlom. Because that is the Pshat. of Shir Hashirim. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li means not, I am for my beloved, man and woman, and my beloved is for me, man and woman. It is, I am for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is for me. That's the pshat of Ani l'doidi. I have a roof over my head means, I have a house to live in, Baruch Hashem. At least I'm not out in the street, in the cold. That's the pshat, a roof over my head. And he says, I will also talk in kula derech drash v'remez kasher tira be'inecho. This is a magnificent comprehension of the whole union of Shir Hashirim. That's, by the way, why Kol Hashirim Kodesh, Shir Hashirim Kodesh Kodesh. And the union, now you understand the union of Asuni Bonai Kemin Zemesh and Menagnim Boy Leitzim. I'm not going into that now. We'll be here for another hour. But you start taking psukim anywhere in the Torah and start making musical compositions. I just heard recently a Mi'adar al Akol. I thought I was going to die 500 times. I mean, I give shiur in Dominican Republic, you know, Washington Heights. And every once in a while, I can't even hear myself talk because the windows are open. It's hot outside in the summertime. And the car comes down the street, and the boombox, the car is shaking. The car is shaking. The whole building, the building is made out of stone. The building starts to shake. That's how the car is shaking. And the booming and bamashi is so loud that you can hear it 20 blocks away. And what they call salsa music. Mi'adir alakol. I was listening. I the first thing that came to my mind is the guy with the radio in the car coming down 186th Street. Mi'adir alakol. Talking about the Eibishter. Mi'adir alakol. And then the mama sugar from Kopen guns. Mamish sugar from Kopen. Dostaf menechet talking. So the thing is true about every pasuk in the Torah in Gans Tanakh. And true about every Maimah Chazal too. But Shir Hashirim? Oyvei. Because Shir Hashirim is not even, the whole thing is of the Eibishter and Klal Yisrael. They're very important to take these things very seriously.